Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone back to the congregation that meets here at Wildercroft. And also like to thank Dave for leading the songs that led so well into the lesson that we're going to talk about tonight. And I thank the elders and I thank Antoine for giving me this opportunity. It's always a pleasure to be able to get up here and speak to my friends and my family, but more importantly, to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us turn to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and we're going to read from verses 1 through 7. That's 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1 through 7. And it reads, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrusted to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Ladies and gentlemen, as we travel down this road of life, we have to understand that there will be hardship. There will be hardship because we are at war. But this war is not according to the flesh, but instead it is according to the Spirit. It is a spiritual warfare that we must be concerned with at this time. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. That's 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. And it reads, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." You see, like a soldier who is entered into battle, we have to face the hardships that are associated with war. As we fight Satan, we're going to get cut, we're going to get bruised, and we're going to get bloody. We're going to encounter spiritual roadside bombs, booby traps, and the other ensnarements of sin. But we have to remain battle-focused. You see, soldiers cannot be distracted, as the Scripture said, with the affairs of life, with the cares of home. And finally, soldiers are to be loyal, loyal to the one who has sent them into battle. This evening, we're going to talk about what it means to be a soldier in the Lord's army. You see, as Christians, we must do three things. We must fight fairly, we must be well equipped, and we must follow the orders of the one who has sent us into battle. So let's talk about fighting fairly. As Christian soldiers, we must fight fairly. For there is no reward for one who does not abide by the rules in this war. Verse 5 says, "An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." Now, anyone who's ever been in the army, and I look out and see a few, in fact, I even see a uniform. Anyone who's ever been in the army knows that all soldiers are athletes. As a matter of fact, there are people who are athletes that I went to college with, and I can guarantee you I've probably run a good 30, 40, 50% more than they have in their lives. And I don't even run anymore. So all soldiers are athletes. But the more important point is that all athletes and all soldiers, they have to compete by the rules. For an athlete, regardless of what sport you're in, there are rules and regulations that you have to abide by. And for soldiers, we have the rules of war. If we want to achieve that crown in life that the scriptures speak of, if we want to achieve that crown, we've got to compete by the rules. Now turn with me to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And we are going to start at verse 14 and we're going to read through verse 17. That's 14 through 17. And it reads, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. And know from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out," some translations say inspired, "by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete," and some translations say thoroughly equipped, "for every good work." So, the Bible is God's rule book. And as I said before, as soldiers of Christ, we must abide by the rules. Through the scriptures, God can make you, and you are his soldiers, he can make you wise. Just think about it. Everything that we need to know to succeed as Christians is in the Bible. As a matter of fact, everything that we need to know to succeed on our jobs, everything we need to know to succeed in our homes, in our communities, we can find it in the scriptures. It's there. The scriptures, as the scripture says, are inspired. They're breathed out by God. The scriptures, they are training manual and our regulations. And you know, back when I was in uniform, I used to kind of laugh at some of the guys who, you know, they reverted back to the regulations for everything. I used to say they didn't know how to think on their own. But you know, when it comes to the spiritual warfare, there's no room for us to be thinking on our own. We need to abide by God's rules and by God's regulations. And as soldiers for the Lord, the scriptures are our supply room, which equip us for every good work, which brings us to our next point. As soldiers of the Lord, we must be well equipped. Anyone who's ever been in the Army or the Navy or any of the other services knows about the supply room. And we also know about the cranky supply sergeants, but that's another sermon. As soldiers of Christ, we must go to the supply room and fill our duffel bag with the things that we need to prepare for battle. Now, let us take a look at Ephesians, the sixth chapter, starting at verse 10. Let's go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, starting at verse 10. And it reads, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield with which you can extinguish all of the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints." So let's talk about this belt of truth. Now, for the Roman soldier, the belt was an essential part of his uniform, because not only did it hold the sword and a piece of leather that protected his lower parts, But it also held the pieces of his armor together. This is the belt of truth. The truth holds our lives together. So I say this again. As Christians, as soldiers of the Lord, the truth holds our lives together. How can we recognize the truth? Let us take a look at Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And we're going to look at verses 10 and 11. Ephesians 5, 10 and 11. And it reads, "And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." So how do we know, how do we recognize the truth? We must test everything against the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. And we must make every effort to make sure that our works are pleasing to God. So I say again, we have to test everything against the scriptures and make sure that our works are pleasing to God. Now let's talk about the breastplate of righteousness. Now many of you are aware of the type of armor that soldiers carry into battle today. It's a Kevlar material that's got ceramic plates on both the front and the back. And this body armor has been credited with saving the lives of many soldiers to the extent that the survivability rate during the last few wars that we've been in is higher than it's ever been in history. Now the flip side is we have a lot of soldiers that come home with missing limbs, but the armor protects the vital organs and keeps more soldiers alive than ever. But the spiritual body armor is not something that you can see with your eyes, but it can be seen through a person's actions. The breastplate of righteousness, it represents character and integrity. I say again, the breastplate of righteousness represents character and integrity. And of course, those who are righteous are protected by God. So ceramic plates are one thing, but those who are righteous are protected by God. Now, let's talk about the shoes, the feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel in the New King James, the shoes of readiness from the gospel, from the English Standard Version. Now, we all know that shoes protect the feet. And in today's army, there are many types of shoes. There are jungle boots, desert boots, cold weather boots, boots for mountain terrain, jump boots, tanker boots, even steel-toed boots. But they all protect the feet. And I remember when I was in the National Guard, and we had a really large protest coming to D.C., and they issued us these shin guards, which they protected the shins, the ankles, and the feet. And this is important. And the reason this is important is because if the feet are not right, it begins to impact the rest of the body. You see, our feet are the foundations upon which the rest of our body stand. So if they're not right, they begin to affect the rest of your body. So if you got a little issue with your feet, then those issues will eventually migrate to your knees and then to your back and so on and so forth. So if your feet are not right, then it's going to affect the rest of your body. Now, as soldiers of God, as soldiers of Christ, our feet should always be planted firmly in the gospel of peace. Our feet should always be planted firmly in the gospel of peace. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if we stand on anything else, we will sink, we will fall, and we will fail. So now let's talk about the shield of faith. Please turn with me to 1 John, the fifth chapter. 1 John, the fifth chapter, and we're going to read verse 4. 1 John 5, 4, which reads, "For everyone who has been born of God," I say again, "for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." As the song says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith And if you look at the, if you look at the phrase in all circumstances, or in the other verse it says overall, the phrase seems to indicate the importance of this piece of armor, this shield of faith. A Roman soldier's shield was large enough to protect his whole body if he knelt down behind it. It was large enough to protect him from a storm of flaming arrows that would come raining down from the enemy. Now, for the benefit of Michael Myrick, I want to talk about Captain America. Because, see, Captain America had this shield that could withstand anything. And although the forces that he was against might have knocked him down, he was able to get back up and he was able to keep fighting. So the shield was a very important piece of equipment for the Roman soldiers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if our faith in God is strong, nothing can penetrate it and nothing can stop us. Now, that's not to say we might not get knocked down, because we're going to get knocked down. All of us have been knocked down at some point in our life. But if our faith is strong, if we're standing behind that shield of faith, there's nothing that can stop us from our goal. Now, let's talk about the helmet of salvation. Now, the Roman helmets were intricately designed to protect the head. Now, for today's military, traumatic brain injury is an issue that can impact behavior. It's an issue of great concern. You see, the head is what controls the rest of the body. The head is the headquarters for the rest of the body. You ever wonder why you call it a headquarters? It's what quarters the head. So if you take out the head, the rest of the body will fall. So we must protect our minds. You ever notice why your skull is made of this hard, bony material? Because we have to protect our minds. But that's the physical mind. But we also have to protect our spiritual minds from the lures of Satan. Now, let's talk about the sword of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword is the only offensive weapon that Christians have and that Christians need. It is the only offensive weapon that Christians have and Christians need. I kind of laugh because I see a lot of gospel preachers taking part in the gun debate. But we need to focus our energies on the spiritual battle. That is the battle that God has put us, has enlisted us for. Now, let us take a look at Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12, and it reads, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of the joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." So this sword of the Spirit, again, it's the only offensive weapon we need. The Word of God is living, and the Word of God is powerful. And let me tell you that man will be judged by it, and it will destroy those who reject it. I say again, man will be destroyed by it for those who reject it. But the Word of God, what does it do for us as soldiers for Christ? Well, it equips us for every good work. Now, let's talk a little bit about prayer. You see, when you're on the battlefield, communication is critical. But you cannot leave your... Hold on a second here. Yeah, when you're on the battlefield, communication is critical. We must communicate with our God, giving thanks and making our needs known. Prayer is a combination of communications with the commander and a morale call. And if you guys don't know what a morale call is, that's those 10 or 15 minutes that you get to call home when you're on the battlefield. So prayer is that. It builds morale. It gives us confidence. It gives us direction. And it gives us communications with our commander. Now, let's talk about the aspect of alertness. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 3 through 6. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 3 through 6. And it reads, "While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come from a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober." It kind of reminds me of the motto for the 18th MP Brigade over in Germany, ever vigilant. And as Christians, we have to be ever vigilant, because let me tell you, the moment when you think that you're strong, the moment when you think that you got it all together, that's the moment when Satan's going to strike you. And let me tell you, you're not going to see it coming. So let us keep awake and let us all be sober. That brings us to our next point. As Christian soldiers, we must follow the orders of the one who sent us. As Christian soldiers, we must follow the orders of the one who sent us. Let us take a look at 2 Peter, the second chapter. 2 Peter, the second chapter. And we're going to read verses 20 and 21. And it reads, "For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them." What am I saying, ladies and gentlemen? This passage kind of reminds me. It reminds me of the kids who enlist in the army. And they get on the bus. And they go to Fort Jackson or Parris Island or Great Lakes Naval Station. And training starts. And they start crying and they want to go home. But let me tell you, when you put on a uniform, you pledge your allegiance to the nation. But when you put on Christ, ladies and gentlemen, you pledge your allegiance to the Almighty God. Turning back is not an option. You can't worry about the girlfriend you left behind or your car that you left with your irresponsible brother. You know, you might have bills that you're worrying about who's going to pay them for you, belongings that need to be secured in a storage unit. You know, you can't be worried about all of those things. If you go to boot camp and you drop out, your friends, they might laugh at you when you get back, you know, because that's not a thing to be really proud of. You go to boot camp and you get washed out. But you cannot leave civilian life to become a soldier and then just turn around and want to go back home, because you've made a commitment. You can't just turn around and walk away from that commitment. You willingly signed a contract and you became property of the United States government. When we put on Christ, we have work to do, just like that soldier who put on that uniform that said U.S. Army. Let us take a look at James 4:17. James 4:17. And it reads, "So whoever knows the right things to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." And Matthew 10:28, it reads, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father?" So when I read those two verses, what comes to my mind? It kind of reminds me of officers who were charged with dereliction because they either knew of wrongdoing and didn't address it, or should have known and didn't address it. But what it also reminds me of is those who know the truth and turn away from it. Because the Bible says when we know the truth, when we've come to the Church of Christ, when we've been introduced to the gospel, to the truth, and we willingly walk away from it, my belief, based on what I've read from the scriptures, is that we're going to be judged more harshly than those who never knew at all. In the army, disobedience will result in either administrative punishment or court-martial. Penalties could range from extra duty to forfeiture of pay to even death in certain circumstances. And you know, the army hasn't put anybody to death since the 1960s, so it's not likely. But in the Lord's army, disobedience can have significant and eternal implications. Significant and eternal. In other words, there is no stay. There is no clemency. And there is no end to the punishment. Something to consider. So as we close tonight, I want to say again that to be effective soldiers in Christ, we must fight fairly according to the rules of God's rule book. We must be well equipped, filling our duffel bags with the whole armor of God. And finally, we must follow the orders of the one who has sent us. You might be sitting here tonight asking yourself the question, well, how do I become a soldier of Christ? How do I enlist in Christ's army, the army of God? Well, you have to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And upon hearing the gospel, you must believe it. You have to believe it, because if you don't believe it, there's no sense in doing any of the next steps. John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He who believeth not shall be damned or condemned. That belief must prompt you to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And once you've made that commitment to give up sin, and you have to make that commitment to renounce sin, you must confess Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. Wherefore, whosoever shall confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. And upon making that confession that so many people today still cannot make, we must be baptized, because it is baptism, that immersion in the water, that remits, that takes away sin. Mark 16:16. So now, I ask you, how is your duffel bag? Does it have holes in it? Is your equipment falling out? Is it not going to be there when you need it? Is your armor defective? Do you even have a duffel bag? Have you made that wise decision? Have you made that wise decision to join the Lord's army? Well, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you stand subject to the gospel, if you need to enlist in God's army, or if you're already one of his soldiers, but you see that your duffel bag is torn and it has a hole in it, now is the time to come forward. Make those sins known. Make those shortcomings known. Make that need for prayer known. And if you still have to put on Christ, the water awaits. It should be warm. And we'll baptize you right here and right now. So please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.